everything that they signify. Again, the agricultural produce, ulakachtam lachem bayom harishon, apriet adar, kaput marim, anafit avot, va'arvei nachal, usmachtam lachem Hashem. Because if you look carefully at Sefer Vayikra, those are certainly the two major, not only mitzvot related to the Chag, but everything that teaches us about the nature of the Chag. And yet, Chazal tell us that there's a third mitzvah that's related to the Chag. Anyone know what mitzvah I'm referring to? Nisochanayim, excellent. One that, when we look at the psukim, do we find any psukim that tell us, okay, this is the Chag, wherein you're going to focus on the water? Nothing at all. And yet, let's take a look at the very first source, the Masechet Tanit, and we're going to see just how central, not just Nisuch HaMayim, but the theme of water is to Sukkot. And this, obviously, is going to help us understand some of the messages of Sukkot that we should take with us, particularly as we compare and contrast this holiday of Sukkot, which is fundamentally a holiday of water. We're going to compare and contrast it with a holiday of wine. When you think of a holiday of wine, what do you think of? Pesach, that's right. And we're going to see that one is much more of a universalist or pluralistic holiday. And by that I mean, again, pluralism is the idea of engaging with other ideas and trying to join together with a broader whole. The sharing of ideas, the sharing of values versus a particularistic approach. But first, let's get started with the idea of Mayim. How do we know that Mayim is so central to Sukkot if there really aren't psukim, explicit verses, that share this connection? So Chazal teach us, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Ho'wiyo varbat minin halalu ein ba'in ela l'retzot ala Mayim. Again, already we see that Rabbi Eliezer says, what do you mean, the Arba Minim? Why do we dafka take Eya, Alulav, and an Esrog, and Hadassim, and Aravot? Because all of these forms of agriculture are very much linked to the water. And that's why we take expressions of, again, whether it's the esrog that grows in the mountains, or the lulav that grows in the desert areas, or the hadassim that grow by plentiful water, or the aravot that grow by the lower waters. So we take from all different topographical areas of Eretz Yisrael that need different types and different amounts of water, and we bring them to Hashem, usmachtam lefnei Hashem leratzot al hamayim. They've got to plead or to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, particularly for water. And what message do we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we take them? Hashem, just like the Zlula of Esro, Kadasim, Arvei Nachal, could not survive without water. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't survive without water. So notice Rabbi Eliezer's approach. This is a Chag of Mayim, and it's expressed or manifest particularly through the mitzvah of Arba Minim. But let's continue with the famous rites and the name of Rabbi Yehuda on the bottom. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Nemar b'sheni, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says, no. There is an independent mitzvah of Mayim that's not necessarily linked to the Arba Minim. And how do we know this? He says, just look at the Karbanot. Anytime you want to know what's special about the day, what's unique about a day, open up to Parsha Pinchas, Bamidbar Perek Chet. Take a look at the Karbanot, and that's going to show you what is significant to the character of that day. So, for example, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have very similar karbanot in terms of the numbers of parim and elim, and that tells you that they have what in common. So, too, Pesach and Shavuot have the same number of karbanot musafim, which tells you that there's something that links Pesach and Shavuot. He says, but if you look at Sukkot, you find, we're going to see in just a moment, that the karbanot of Sukkot are entirely different than the musafim that are brought on the other days, even those of the other regalim. And by the menachot and the nesachim, by the regular flower offerings and wine libations that we hear about, we find that the words aren't all the same. For example, on the second day of Sukkot, it says, v'niskehem. And then on the sixth day of Sukkot, it says, unisacheha, that you bring its wine libations. And then on the seventh day, it says, v'niskehem kimishpatem. We don't need all these words, telling us that there is an extra mem from niskehem, an extra yud in nisachaha instead of niska, and an extra mem from mishpatam. Now, one can argue that that's not really such a direct extrapolatory method, but this writer, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, says, no, it is. That when you look at the karbanot, you see what's significant about the day. And there is a hint then in the Torah, this extra mem yud mem tells us that what's central then, what else do you literally offer as a nisuch, that you literally pour over the mizbeach on Sukkot? Mem yud mem harei kan mayim mikan remez leniso hamayim min haTorah. He says, so now you know it's not just a nice hint; it's the oraita. We have a hint to it, but it's the Oraita. But Rav Ami says in the name of Rav Yochanan and Rav Nechunya, Ish Bikat Beit Hortan. He says, no, this idea of Nisu Chamayim, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Even though, as we discussed, there may not be a particular pasuk that tells us about it, but passed down generation to generation, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, Nisu Chamayim is central to Chag HaSukkot. And therefore, if we really want to understand what's special about this Chag and how to enter the Chag properly, b'simcha, and to a certain degree with a little bit of trepidation as we're anxious for the upcoming waters, we have to examine what this theme of water is. And what does it mean that Chag HaSukkot is the time for water? So let's continue with the Mishnah and Masechet Rosh Hashanah. That tells us that there are really different times of the year that we're a little bit more anxious than others with regard to the agricultural setting and the produce. For example, Arba Prakim, Ha'olam Nidon. But Pesach, what are we nervous about? We may bring the barley, but we're still nervous. I don't know, are we going to have our staple? Is there going to be enough wheat in the fields? We're nervous about the Tevuah. And on Atzeres, on Shavuos, when we bring the Minchat Shnei Halechem, and we tell Hashem, thank you so much for the bread. Thank you for the Tevuah. We're nervous. Oh no, how about all the fruits on the trees? Are my vines going to be successful? Am I going to have figs this year? And Rosh Hashanah, what are we nervous about? Basically, our existence. Kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron. Uvachag, which is, again, the epitome of a chag, chag hasukot, nidonim al hamayim. This is the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us. We should be a little anxious at this time because we're worried about the upcoming waters. That right now, if you've gone on any water, Tiulim. Have you gone on Tiulim since the beginning of the year? And for those who may have been here during the summer, we notice that, the water level is receding. It's the ends of the waters that we had from the past winters, Baruch Hashem. But now we have what to anticipate and also be a little anxious with regard to the upcoming waters. Sure enough, the Gemara tells us, so what do? Anna, for example, Pesach, we bring the barley to tell Hashem, please bless our tvua. Right? Hey, viu lefanai omer bepesach, kadesh tibarech lachem tvua shebesadot. And on Atzeret, we bring lefanav shnei halechem, kadesh yitbarchu lachem peirot ha'ilan. And now the bolded letters, omer pnei ma amra Torah nischum mayim b'chag. So notice what's very interesting. On Pesach, we bring the barley to Hashem, recognizing Hashem, the barley's from you. So we know we're also, Emirat Hashem, going to get the wheat from you. On Shavuos, we bring the wheat, and Hashem says, excellent, this way I'll be able to give a bracha to your fruit. But on Sukkot, what does Hashem ask? Nischum mayim b'chag. I want you to spill out the water on Chag. Why? Kedei sheyitbarchu lachem gishmei shana. Because this is a way of getting more water. But where is this water going to come from? This water is going to come from Shemayim. I want you to take it from the Shiloach. I want you to take the waters from the various rivers and the streams where they've collected. Spill out the waters, which in Eretz Yisrael we would say, no, conserve the water, turn off the faucet. And Hashem says, Zafka, no. Show me that you recognize that the waters come from above, that the waters come from Hashem. So we clearly see not only yet the significance of water on Sukkot, but just how much the Nisu Chamayim is connected to the day itself. And if you continue in the Tosefta, very similar terminology, the top of page 2, Yana Nisu Chamayim b'chag, why do we do this? Just like we just saw, Kedei sheyitbarchu alechem gishamim. Based on what? How do we know that this is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us and deliberate and basically determine how much water we're going to get this entire year based on Zechariah. So let's take a look at the Psukim in Zechariah, which ultimately is the Haftorah that we're going to read on Sukkot. And we're going to see something very interesting then that Zechariah introduces, both about the time period of Sukkot and a little bit then about the messages that Sukkot has to offer. Zechariah Perek Yudalit, V'haya kol ha-notar mikol ha-goyim ha-ba'im al Yerushalayim. Zechariah talks about what generally is called and referred to as a Melchemet Gog u'Magog, an eschatological war wherein, ultimately, we're going to be the ones that survive. Many members of Am Yisrael will be killed in this war, but the nations are going to come and attack us, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, and whoever is left will go to Yerushalayim. That's where they'll be saved. V'alumi de shana b'shana l'shtachavot l'melech Hashem tzva'ot. And then we're going to continue to go up to Yerushalayim, certainly for Shalosh HaRagalim, v'lachog et chag ha-sukot. But particularly for Sukkot, v'ayasher lo yalem me'it mishpachot ha'aretz al Yerushalayim. And then Zechariah continues, not only those who remain from Am Yisrael, all the nations that survive, they're going to have to come up once a year, not three times. They have to come up on Sukkot. Lishtachavot l'melech Hashem tzvaot, v'lo aleihem yeh hageshem. Because if they don't come to recognize Hashem, Yudke Vavke, the God of Am Yisrael, as the universal God of the world, as the God of nature, then Hashem won't give them Geshem. Ve'im mishpachat Mitzrayim, and he turns specifically and he says, especially the people coming from Egypt, if they don't come, not only will they not get Geshem, but lo aleihem tiyeha magifa, asher yigof Hashem et hagoyim, asher lo yalu lachog et chakasukot. Hashem is going to smite them with some type of magifa, some type of sickness, some type of punishment. Why particularly Mitzrayim? Why do you think the people of Mitzrayim would be even more smug? Because they have the Nile. Excellent. And therefore, they don't necessarily have to feel dependent on the rains. And the Navi continues, Zotia chatat Mitzrayim v'chatat kol ha'goyim asher lo yalu lachag et chakasukot. So Mitzrayim and everyone else, if you don't come to Yerushalayim for Sukkos, then what's going to happen? And then beware, because everyone should be coming, so much so that big pots are going to be used to collect all the karbanot that the different nations are going to bring. And when they come to the Beit HaMikdash, dafka to daven for rain, that's when they're going to recognize Hashem. They automatically are going to be bringing karbanot. No one's going to feel estranged from this Beit HaMikdash. So notice that Zechariah speaks about water, not only as something, obviously, that we, B'nai Yisrael, need in Eretz Yisrael. And here, living here, we know that we don't have as many natural water sources throughout the country. So we really are dependent on the rainwater from Hashem. But Zechariah mentions, wait a second, water is a universal need. Even if you live in Mitzrayim and you have the Nilus there, you still have to come and recognize that the rain comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where do you do to show that recognition? What do? You have to go to Yerushalayim. In other words, Sukkot is a time wherein we recognize our need for water. But because this is the season right before the rainy season that we anticipate, immediately after Shmini Atzeret, and by the way, last year, for example, it was beautiful. We were saying Tefillas HaGeshem, and the rain started to fall, right? There's something here about HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for our tefillot, and then right when we need it, when we're ready to start sowing and planting the ground, then the rain, Be'ezrat Hashem, will come. But it's not just we who have to recognize it. Sukkos is the time that the world at large recognizes that Hashem is the God of nature. And therefore, through water, which is something that everyone needs to survive, we appreciate not only Hashem as our God of the water, as our God of nature, but ultimately this pluralistic or universalistic approach that Zechariah is referring to. Let's continue with the Gemara and Sukkah that tells us, in the name of Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even created basically the sources for the water all the way back, from Sheshet Yemei Breshit. And Hashem created really the storehouses of waters for the rain, going back. In other words, we appreciate that Hashem is in control of these waters, and Hashem is waiting for the right time. And in other words, when we daven, when we recognize, or when we're cognizant of Hashem as the source of these waters, that's when Hashem enables them to fall. And not only then do we anticipate these waters, but mitzvah chashuvahi uva misheshet yemei breshit. So the idea then of this niso chamayim, this halacha l'moshe misinai, maybe it goes back even further to sheshet yemei breshit, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a priori, these storehouses of waters up above, and waiting for us to daven for them. But now what we're going to see is how significant this transition is, and particularly on Sukkot, we're going to see coming from the more particular, the subjective chagim of certainly Pesach, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, where it's particularly a brit between Hashem and Am Yisrael that's explored. We take a big jump now, right? It's a good thing that we have a Yom Yon and a few days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot to be able to prepare properly for this transition, a transition from a particular relationship with Hashem to a much more universal relationship with Hashem. But what I'd like to do with you is to show you how this started in the Torah, how we actually began with a universalistic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then gradually developed a particular personal relationship with Hashem. We know that this begins, obviously, with Briyat Adam. God creates humanity, no distinction between this nation, that nation, right? And the proof is really the story of the Mabul. Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the whole world. I'm not distinguishing between lands, between countries, between ethnic groups, right? Everyone is going to be destroyed. Who's the only one or whose family is saved? Noach, because he's an ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorotav. And we don't know exactly what that means. What does it mean that he's a righteous individual, right? What mitzvot is he keeping at that time? Right, so we don't know, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the world and save one family through which the world basically is going to be recreated. And that's exactly what we find immediately after the Mabul. Notice Perek Tet, Pasuk Tetvav, Hashem says, V'zacharti et briti asher b'ni u'b'nichem, u'b'n kol nefesh chaya v'cho basar, v'lo ya'od hamayim l'mabul l'shachit kol basar. Notice water, then, is what's used to basically show that Hashem rules over the whole world, right? Hashem says the waters are going to come both from below and from above, from the Shamayim, 40 days, 40 nights, flood the entire world, and that's how the world is going to be destroyed. But now there's a keshet ba'anan. Hashem is going to offer his covenant through a sign, not just of a keshet, but a keshet ba'anan, right? As if to say, I'm stopping the clouds. Vayomer Elokim al Noach, zot otabrit asher hakimoti, b'ni uvein kol basar asher la'aretz. This is a covenant then, again, to stop the rains, basically, between myself and the entire world. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says, I destroy the world through Mayim, and now, Noach, I want you to know that water is always going to signify my relationship with the world. So that now I have a brit. I will provide for waters again, but never to destroy the world. If you remember there in Midrashim later on, that Paro knows, right, his itztagninim, his sorcerers, all the astronomers, they know that, again, that God can't destroy the whole world with water, but maybe, very nice, but maybe one nation, beautiful, maybe one person, right? And therefore, they say, so everyone has to be thrown into the Nilus because it could be, right, that, yes, there may still be a punishment through water, but never, never a comprehensive one, right? Never for the entire world. So let's continue. Vayomer Elokim al Noach, zot otabrit asher kimoti b'ni uvein kol basar asher al ha'aretz, v'yu b'nei Noach hayotzim min ha'teiva, shem cham v'yafet, v'cham hu avi Knan. And then we hear that from these three children of Noach, shlosha eila b'nei Noach, u'me'ila naftza kol ha'aretz. They're going to multiply, they're going to basically attribute to the growth in demography here throughout the world. Vayachol Noach ish hadama vayitakerem. And now we're going to see something very interesting. What Noach does is amidst all this water, again, he now, instead of using the water, right, to plant, or again, to maybe even make a reservoir, whatever it is, it seems that Noach is somewhat traumatized by water. Right? Can you understand that? I think so. Again, so what does he do instead? Noach basically creates, to a certain degree, an antithesis of the water, which is what? What's a Karen? Wine. The source of the wine. Noach is going to plant a vineyard, right? This is his way of telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, Hashem, no more water, no more water. I'm fine with wine. I'll drink wine at every meal, right? I'll take wine on my tulim, right? It won't be May Eden. It will be, you know what? Yay, Noach, right? That's what I want to take with me. Gena, where we go. And we know that, unfortunately, this not only leads to a sin, basically, of Cham, but Noach is the first one who makes a distinction amongst his own children. He says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, V'iknan Eved Lamo. Right? Elokim LeYafet, V'yishkon Bo'alei Shem. He separates Shem, again, and then Yafet, who will hang out in the Ohel of Shem, versus Cham. He isn't going to look at everyone as universal, right? He basically makes the separation. But even more, let's take a look in Perek Yud. What happens in Perek Yud? Everyone gets together post-Mabul. Again, it's actually two generations later. And they start building a migdal, right? All the way to the skies. And ultimately, what does Hashem do? Also divides them up. Instead of destroying them, now there are particular languages which ultimately are going to develop into particular ethnic groups, particular nations, particular lands. They're all going to spread out. And this began basically through the wine, which tells us from the beginning, Mayim then is related to the universal relationship between Hashem and the world. Yayin is going to focus much more on a particular relationship, particular people. From then on, by the way, we know that we don't even hear the stories of Yefet or Ham anymore. After Migdal Bavel, Dor HaPalaga, we hear only of the line of Shem, from whom, by the way, who descends? Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. These are the stories. From that time, we hear of a particular relationship amidst the a priori universal relationship that Hashem really wanted with all of humanity. And therefore, it seems that to a certain degree, what Sukkot allows for is a restoration back to this relationship with not just with Hashem, but a relationship that Hashem shares with the entire world. And this is exactly what we find. Again, if you look on the top of page 3, again, the Gemara and Sukkah. See the Gemara and Sukkah. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hani Shivim Parim, Keneged Mi, Keneged Shivim Umot. That what should we do on Sukkot? What are the Musafim? How many do we bring? We bring 70. Why? This is our time for us to remember that, wait a second, a relationship with Hashem, we're so lucky. We get to share a particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's manifest most of the year, right? Pesach, we explore our historical revelation with Hashem, and going back to Yetzia Mitzrayim. On Shavuot, we remember the fact that Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and certainly Mamad Har Sinai gave us a particular grit. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's our relationship with Hashem. Even on Rosh Hashanah, when we say Hayom Harat Olam, that Hashem created the world or created mankind, but we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're the only ones who can be Mamlech you. We're the ones who coronate you today. We recognize Hashem as our God. And yet Sukkot is a time that we have to remember that it's time to embrace the entire universe, that it's time to go back to the very beginning of Briyat Olam, that it's time to go back pre-Noach, it's time to go back to all that Mayim, to the time that Hashem created the world and mankind, to recognize Hashem. And that's why on Sukkot we bring Shivim Parim, Keneged Umot HaOlam. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize Hashem through this water, that you're not just our God. Every place needs water. Everyone needs water. You're the God for everyone. Rashi even tells us there. That's why we have Shivim Parim, Chutz Mishel Shmini, except for Shmini Atzeret. Keneged Shivim Umot Lachaper Aleihem, Sheer Du Geshamim B'chol HaOlam, Lefi Shenidonim B'chag Al HaMayim. And what does Rashi add here? Keneged Shivim Umot Lechaper Aleihem Sheer Du Geshamim B'chol HaOlam. That we ourselves bring the karbanot for these nations, so that Hashem will also protect and atone all the other nations, so that Hashem will provide them with water. In other words, we have to be the ones responsible, almost to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has to take care of the rest of the world. And this is a very big step that we take, not particularly, I would say, only as Jews, but for humankind. We basically take that leap and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not just concerned with ourselves, we're concerned with the whole world. We want to make sure that in Zimbabwe that they also have water. And I don't know how many of you on your Tehillim have seen, especially by the Yard Day, and this is the season that a lot of people, based on Zechariah, come. They come to Eretz Yisrael. There's actually a parade over Sukkot and on Rehov Herzog, where everyone comes from different nations. And the reason they come on Sukkot is based on Zechariah, to daven for themselves so that Hashem will provide for them rain. And that's why, Anna, we not only give this diya or provide for this Shivim Parim, we sacrifice for the Umot HaOlam, but particularly focus on the water. Focusing on the water is a way that we remember, wait a second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the entire world. Everyone needs water. Maybe not everyone needs the same amount of wheat, because here in Eretz Yisrael, we're a little more nervous about the wheat and the fruit. And certainly the whole idea of recognizing that there are peirot hamiuchadot, that the sheva minim are special to Eretz Yisrael, but water is universal. So much so that now we're going to explore how significant water is throughout Sukkot. Well, you're all familiar with the source of Masechet Sukkah, that Chazal tell us, Misha lo ra'as simchat beit ha-shoeva, lo ra'as simcha miyamav. And even though we discussed Miso Chamayim was taking waters every day of Sukkot from the Shiloach, right by Gena, the old city of Yerushalayim, Ir David, and bringing it and spilling it on the Mizbeach, and Hashem says, yes, That's the way that you show me that you recognize that waters are from Hashem, and Hashem says, then I'll give you the bracha for the upcoming rainfall. But that's not where it stops. At night, what would we do over Sukkot? We had a simchat beit ha-shoeva. We celebrated the fact that we drew forth the water and subsequently spilled it on top of the mizbeach. And these smachot, Yana, the Mishnayot, Tosefdot, Gemara described, there was nothing like it. People wouldn't sleep for 7 days. And then the Gemara says, what do you mean you didn't sleep for 7 days? No one can survive your sleep without 7 days. And they said, fine. Yana, people would fall asleep standing, so you can't really call that sleeping. But that's how people, Yana, caught a little bit of sleep, because it was constant entertainment. That's when they would put, Yana, beautiful pillars in the chatzer of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Pirchei Kohanim, the little Kohanim, would climb up, and they would constantly refill with oil, so that the entire, can you imagine this, the entire area of Har HaBayit was lit in the middle of the night, because there was something going on all the time. There were circuses, and Rabban Gamliel would play with fire, Abu Kot Shel Or, and there was calisthenics going on, meaning every possible circus and a beautiful play and singing. Gana, that was also taking place by Har HaBayit. Not only that, but let's continue. That was what real simcha is. Misha lo ra Yerushalayim b'tifrata, lo ra krach nachman me'olam. During this time, if you didn't see what Yerushalayim looked like in its glory, then you've never really seen a beautiful city. Misha lo ra'a beit hamikdash b'vinyano, lo ra'a binyan mifu'ar me'olam. And Rav Chisda explains, this is talking about not the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, but more or less the last 65 years or so of the second Beit HaMikdash, known as the building of Hordus. That was a nice building. And the Gemara continues to explain that, yes, there were Jews at that point living throughout the world, living in Alexandria, in Mitzrayim, but they would all recognize, and people would come, Dafka and Sukkot, to appreciate how beautiful and not just the simcha was, but the simcha particularly of the mayim. This is what something that helped, I would say, Jews around the world again make their mark universally. Right? People would come and see these beautiful celebrations that were going on, particularly on Sukkot. But I'd just like to show you now, not only through Sukkot being a time of order, but particularly the Beit HaMikdash at the time of Sukkot being linked to water and universalism. And why then is it so imperative that we dafka go to the Beis HaMikdash and all these celebrations take place in the Beis HaMikdash, that we offer the karbanot in the Beis HaMikdash? So you're supposed to say, Shani, because it says in the pasuk, smachtam lifnei Hashem, that whenever we do something, again, lifnei Hashem, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. But what we're going to see is that the Beis HaMikdash itself, particularly on Sukkot, the Beis HaMikdash in itself is a sign of a universal relationship with Hashem. And that should strike you as a little strange, because when we think of the Beis HaMikdash, what do we think of? Our relationship with Hashem, right? Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place where we come to bring karbanot. But we're going to see that when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, if you look in Malachim Aleph Perek Chet, particularly through the tefillah that he offers, Emma, he explains very clearly. He says, you know what? What is the point for this Beis HaMikdash? Says Hashem, really, Hashemayim Ushmei Hashemayim Lo Yechakluha. It's not for God, because even the heavens cannot contain, right, the transcendent nature of God. Rather, this is an expression of the imminence of Hashem, the fact that Hashem can come and stay within our midst, and this is our place through which we recognize that Hashem is in this world. So he begins by talking about the fact that this Beis HaMikdash is really for us, Hashem. So that particularly when we don't have rain or when we're attacked by our enemies, what are we going to do? We, Am Yisrael, we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. But then take a look at what he says in Pasuk Lametet. V'ata tishma ha-shamayim l'chon shivtacha v'salachta v'asita v'natata li'ish kachod rachav asher tidad levavo ki ata yadata levatcha levav b'nei Adam. And this is where the relationship between man and Hashem and God is going to be examined. L'man yirucha kol hayamim and then he jumps. Pasuk Mem Aleph. V'gam el hanachri asher lo miyamcha Yisrael hu uva me'eretz rechoka l'man shemacha. And then Shlomo HaMelech says, actually, this Beis HaMikdash, it's not just for us. Who else can come here? Non-Jews. Whoever wants to. He says, Gayim. Right? This is also for you. Gam kol hanachri. All of the Nachriyim can come here. He says, okay, it is for us, and obviously it's closest to us, and God wants to examine our hearts here in the area of the Beit HaMikdash, but you should just know that the Beit HaMikdash is also built for a universal purpose. It's filled for the entire world. Ki yishmu'un et shemcha gadol. Because through this, through coming here, they will recognize how great Hashem is. They will recognize yatcha chazaka uzrocha nutuya uvavid palel ala bayit hazeh. Ata tishma ha-shamayim machon shivtacha va'asita k'chol asher yikra ilacha hanachri laman yidun kol amay aretz et shmecha lira utcha kamcha Yisrael v'ladat ki shemcha nikra labayit hazeh asher baniti. Shlomo says, this is going to be the manner or the means through which all of the nations of the world are going to recognize Hashem. And he doesn't even mention the water right away. And then he says, yes, again, now whoever needs water will come to the Beit HaMikdash, but the Beit HaMikdash itself represents a universalistic place, a location where one can be more cognizant of God. Who remembers, by the way, when does Shlomo inaugurate the Beit HaMikdash? You would think that he should inaugurate it, maybe to show that this is like an expanded Mishkan. Why not choose the anniversary of Chanukat HaMishkan, which was when? Which was Aleph Nisan. Instead, what does he choose to inaugurate it? In Tishrei. And what we know is that he celebrates 14 days of inauguration. It says 7 days of Miluim, and then 7 days of Chag. What's Chag? Sukkot. Okay. He chooses Sukkot. As a matter of fact, Chazal say, wait a second, that means he started on Zion Tishrei. So maybe they didn't fast that Yom Kippur. Because it seems that what Shlomo wants to focus on is not necessarily our relationship with Hashem. Why do you think he chooses Sukkot as opposed to Pesach time, as opposed to Nisan? Because Nisan is the birthday of Am Yisrael. That's a particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tishrei, Hayom Harat Olam, that's mankind. Sukkot, that's exactly what he wants to show. This Mikdash is not the Mishkan. The Mishkan was just for Bnei Yisrael, right? A small tabernacle. This temple, says Shlomo, this is supposed to be for everyone. And therefore, I'm going to choose the time of the year that everyone recognizes God. And now we understand Zechariah even more. So then, of course, then, the other nations are going to come and recognize God as the God of the world or the God of water. They're going to come to the Beit HaMikdash, particularly at the time that they are more sensitive to recognizing Hashem, and that is Sukkot, the same time that we tell Hashem, we recognize you, not only as our God, but the God of Shiv'im Umot Ha'ulam. And let's take a look and see how later Nevi'im appreciated that as well. Even before Zechariah, Yeshayahu, and his various Nevo'ot of Nechama that we've been reading as the Haftorot, from Tisha B'Av all the way to Shabbat and Nechamta, through Sukkot, this is a Yeshayahu's eschatological view. And now some of you may be disturbed by this, but let's look at it. Yeshayahu Perek Nun Vav. He talks about B'nei Nechar and different nations that will come, Hanelvim al Hashem, Lisharato, Ula'ava et Shem Hashem, Lioglo Lavadim, Kol Shomer Shabbat Machalalo, Umachzikim Viviti, Vaviotim al Harkachi, Visimachtim Vivit Vilati. How many times did you sing this yesterday? Alotehem Visibchehem, Leratzon al Mizbechi, Ki Beiti Beitvila Yikare Lachol Hamim. I know, we want to sing it again, both the slow and the fast, and but look carefully. What is the context? What is Yeshayahu speaking about? He talks about how B'nai Nechar, how Goyim, are going to be able to come to the Beit HaMikdash and do what? And now, keep Shabbos, bring Karbanot, right? He says this, B'nai Nechar, Anivim al Hashem l'sharto, Ulava et Shem Hashem, Liot lo lavadim. He says, yeah, Goyim are going to come, and they're going to end up in the Beis HaMikdash. Soon you're going to see, he even says, that they can even serve as Kohanim in the Mikdash. Why do I say that some of you may be a little disturbed by this? That's right. Not even all members of Am Yisrael. You mean Goyim are going to be able to serve? Wait a second. Like, we've been paying a very heavy price, you know, as Jews. And what? The Goyim are going to be able to go and serve there? Yeshayahu believes, yes, that that's part of the universalistic function of the Beis HaMikdash. As a matter of fact, Vaviotim al Harkachi, what have you been singing? Gana straight through. Ki beiti beitvila yikare l'chol hamim. That actually, in our tefillot, we're excited for this. We tell Hashem, yes, we're excited for a Beis HaMikdash. We can't wait till you bring us back to the Beis HaMikdash. Not just us, but who do we want to meet there? We want to meet everywhere. Everyone. We want to meet the world there. That's right. Notice that we're talking about our view of recognizing Hashem as the God of the universe. Hashem, we want to go back to pre-Mabul days, pre-Dor HaPalaga days. We want to go back to a time when we all recognize you as God. But unfortunately, it didn't work. right, that the whole world recognized Hashem. So Hashem chose the descendants of Shem, and then the descendants of Abraham, and then Dafka Yitzchak and not Yishmael, and then Dafka Yaakov and not Esav, through which to share this message of Kriya B'Shem Hashem in the world. And we tell Hashem, that's very nice. We're very happy that we have this special relationship with you and this special mandate from God and really a trajectory of trying to share the messages and the values and the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the world. But Hashem, we really want to go back to a time wherein we all share this recognition of you. And that's why in Yeshayahu we hear that, yes, V'haya midei chodesh b'chadsho midei shabbat b'shabbato yavo kol basar li'shachavot lifnei Hashem. Can you imagine? Shabbos is not going to be Shabbos just for us. Gana, the whole world is going to be Shomer Shabbos. Wow. Gana, this is where we get the idea that it is a message that other nations can get. Gana, certainly, Midei Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, can you imagine? Everyone who follows the secular, the Gana Julian or the Gregorian calendar, the solar calendars, they're going to end up celebrating our Rosh Chodesh. But we're not so surprised because we see that during the time of Shlomo, that's exactly what existed. That during the time of Shlomo, even when he was building the Beit HaMikdash, who wants to contribute? First, Hiram Melech Tzor contributes, and he says, because I recognize that your God is a great God. Later on in Perek Yud Bet, Malkat Sheva comes with a whole entourage of karbanot and gifts to Shlomo. But karbanot, and she says, wow, how lucky are you, Shlomo, that this is your God. Right? And she recognizes the God as well, which tells us that that's really what Sukkot is. Sukkot is a holiday of the Beit HaMikdash, and it's a holiday of water. But both of those are universal. It's a time that we, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can recognize, wait, is Hashem, right? We're part of a much broader whole, that we're not just coming and celebrating in our private little Sukkot, but the whole idea of the simcha, of Zman Simchatenu, is that this time it's much broader. That this includes basically the entire world. This is a universalistic time. This is when we're excited that there are so many visitors in Eretz Yisrael. Not just from, tour groups coming from, I don't know, the five towns and Teaneck. But this is a time wherein, really, people are coming from Zimbabwe and India and China. That's right, a lot of Chinese now. And now they come during this time because, and we're excited for that, because that means that they recognize that Hashem is not just the God of the history of Am Yisrael, but ultimately the God of nature for the entire world. And in order to highlight this, I'd like to now take a look at Pesach. That Pesach is really the holiday of wine. So I'm going to share with you that growing up in Chutz La'aretz, and Pesach was always my favorite yom tov. Right, how many of you did your favorite yom tov? Right, Pesach? Yes, why do you like Pesach so much? It's very family-oriented.
The
Seder. The Seder is beautiful. And the guys celebrate the whole thing. Did you like?
Wine.
Wine, that's wine. That's definitely your yom tov. And Purim. But now we'll pick with Pesach. Why else? What's so nice about Pesach?
I like the food.
You like the food? You like matzah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just stay there. What else? And what are some of the messages of Pesach? Pesach is... Hashem saving us from slavery. Hashem makes us his people. Basically, it's the birthday of Am Yisrael. And that's so special, and we feel very special. As a matter of fact, sometimes Dafgan Pesach, right, how many of you went on your shul's great adventure trip? Right, you all got, and you feel, we're the Jewish group here, right? And now you have to bring your own food because nothing is kosher le Pesach, right? You have to bring your matzah together with you. And so I grew up, and I'm really loving that. I'm even going to say insular. Family, very Jewish-oriented time of Pesach. And then I made Aliyah, and I'm going to share this with you as well, that already, I would say, the first year that I was here, and Sukkot became my favorite Yom Tov. So I'm just warning you, all of you Pesach lovers, Gana, just get ready, because in Eretz Yisrael, you can't help but love Chag HaSukkot. Why? Any of you been here before for Sukkot, other than the Shana Betters? Yes, what do you love? For those who always love Sukkot, what do you love about Sukkot? Okay, I guess we don't have so many Sukkot lovers yet. You'll see. And 2 weeks from now, I'm going to have a survey. No, and you're going to tell me, Gana, how many of you now love Sukkot? And what is there to love about Sukkot? So first, I'm going to tell you the weather. right? Even though what we always heard, it's Pesach now, says the tour. And it's not in, it's not Pesach time. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to remember Yom Adiyah, the Sukkot, Shavuot Hoshavti at Bnei Yisrael, because it's greater Mesiras Nefesh. Yes, when you're sitting in New York or the tour in Spain, again, it really is cold during the season. How's the weather now?
Gorgeous.
Okay. Next week, it's going to be gorgeous. 80 degrees. Again, highs, meaning ranging from 65 to 80 degrees. Perfect weather in Eretz Yisrael. And according to the Rashbam, when we sit outside in our Sukkot, that's when we remember how, on one hand, Hashem took us out through the Midbar, and we had to sit in these temporary huts. But now we're in Eretz Yisrael. And once a year, we're reminded of the fact that, oh my, now we have permanent homes here in Eretz Yisrael. It's a way of appreciating that Hashem brought us into Eretz Yisrael. We go out, and you don't have to worry, really, about the food that you eat, and because everything here, more or less, is kosher. And you just go out, and you can make a sukkah wherever you are. And guess what? You don't even have to make a sukkah, because every restaurant has a sukkah. And in every gan, in every national park, there's going to be a sukkah. Isn't that exciting? And everyone is basically out in the country, but it's not just us. What makes sukkah so wonderful is that everyone recognizes this. Everyone appreciates that this is, in fact, right, a very special, and this is the Feast of the Tabernacle, right? This is the feast wherein we all recognize, the world recognizes, that there's something special about both the Jewish people. And there's something special about coming to Eretz Yisrael, particularly Yerushalayim, during this time. It really is a universal holiday. Universal, again, both Am Yisrael recognizing it, and when we see everyone else outside as well. I say that Sukkot, more than any other holiday, especially in Eretz Yisrael, is super-duper social scene. And I don't just mean, like, social, you know, boys, girls together. It's just social. Again, everyone is here. And this is the time, then, to be able to appreciate that. As opposed to Pesach, Pesach is clearly particular to Am Yisrael. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim L'Chodshei Hashana. Chodesh Ha'aviv, Hashem says, even though it's a universal season, but B'Chodesh Ha'aviv Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha Mimitzrayim Laila. Hashem says, I did something particular for Am Yisrael during this time. And that's why throughout the various stages of whether it's Chizkiyahu's reform or Yoshiyahu's reform, in Malachim Be'Parach of Gemal, we hear that in order to show Hashem that we are truly allegiant to Hashem, what do? We redo a Pesach, even if it's not the same time. Yoshiyahu says that we're all going to have a massive Karban Pesach to show Hashem that we're renewing the Brit between us. So too in Sefer Yechezkel. Yana Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Barishon Barabasar Yom Lachodesh Yelachem HaPesach Chak Shavuot Yamim Matzot Yachel. Vasah Nasiba Yamu Bado Vaat Kol Ha'am Am Haaretz Par Chatat. This is a time that the leaders lead only Am Yisrael. Ezra as well. Ezra decides to reinaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. At what time? Yana, the same time as the Mishkan. Yana, he sees the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash as a time of simcha, particularly for Am Yisrael. So that's going to be on Pesach. Pesach is a time where we recognize our very particular individualistic relationship with Hashem. And how is that manifest? That's manifest through our wine lover over here. Right? That's manifest through wine, where we already saw wine, and it's much more singular. Wine is much more intimate. Right? Wine is very different than water, both in terms of where it comes from, right? It doesn't come from the skies up above. And the wine you have to plant, it comes from a particular area. It comes from the vines. And you know what? You can't even plant successful vines wherever you live. It is a very particular. But now we're going to see how Chazal relate to wine. Let's look at the Midrash Tanchuma on the bottom of page 4. Nimshela divrei Torah liyayin. Isn't that nice? Wait a second. Torah's like wine. That's great. Again, yes, ushtu b'yayin mesachmiya sukatzim makvivim lechem al gavim mizbeach shenemar et karbani lachmi li'ishay v'chein hu omer v'natati al ha'shulchan lechem panay tamid. Again, oh wow, Torah is like wine. The Radak says, why? Ma yayin mesameach alev kamo shenemar v'yayin yisameach levad enosh as divrei Torah kev. Again, so too, just like wine makes you happy, so too Torah makes you happy. Let's look at another midrash based on Parshat Naso. When all the Nesiim are bringing their gifts to the Mishkan, and they each bring a mizrak, a silver container for the blood and for the wine. And they say, why did each of the bring a mizrak of 70 shekel? Kishem sheyayin cheshbono 70, kach ye 70 panim b'Torah. Yes, and there are 70 different ways of looking at the Torah, right? Which means that, okay, wine is particular to Torah. Wine highlights, again, the simcha of the Torah. Wine highlights the different views, the different parshaniyot on the Torah, the different ways of explaining the Torah. And the Yalkut Shimoni tells us, kol shedato miyushevet alav v'yeino, yesh bo midat shel shevim zakenim. Yeah, because wine has the gematria of 70, so it's related to so many different 70s over here. And now, I hope some of you are thinking, wait a second, Torah isn't only compared to wine, Torah is also compared to? To water. As a matter of fact, if you really count up the number of midrashim of wine being similar, that Torah being compared to water or Torah being compared to wine, you're going to find that there are more that talk about Torah and water. Because water, again, is just basic. It's our basic survival. Nonetheless, and Chazal saw Yayin as very much a perfect mashal for the Torah as well, and may be based on Shir Hashirim. And Shir Hashirim, which we read when? On Pesach, which makes a lot of sense, as you'll see, because it talks about a love relationship between the Dod and the Ra'ayah, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal say, and Am Yisrael. And how is that love relationship going to be depicted over and over again throughout Shir Hashirim? Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo Yishakinim Nishikot Piyu Ki Tovim Todacha Miyayin L'Reach Shmanacha Tovim Shemen Terak Shmacha Mashcheini Acharecha Narutze Eviyani Amalach Adara Magil V'Nismacha Bach Naskiro Todacha Miyayin Mishrim Ayivucha Al Tiruni Shanish Chachoret Samuninu Teirat HaKramim Karmi Sheli Lo Notarti. The Raya discusses and develops her relationship with the Dod through a kerem, right? She speaks about the idea of a vineyard. And just like a vineyard has different stages of development, so too a relationship Yana, between the man and the woman, a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yayin, Gana in Shir HaShirim is certainly, right, something that's going to depict a particular, very intimate love relationship. That's Pesach time. But just as I told you, in the same midrash on Shir HaShirim, Ki Tovim Todacha Miyayin, wait a second, Nimshalu Divrei Torah B'mayim. I thought that Divrei Torah are compared over and over again to Mayim. So Chazal said, yes, to Mayim and to Yayim and to Shemen and to Dvash and to Chalav. Right, why Mayim? Because Mayim is all expansive. Kach Torah Misofa Olam Ve'at Sofa Olam. And why Yayin? Because just like wine gets better with time, so too Torah gets better with time. Just like Yayin, and at first the body, right? We're shot sometimes when we drink the wine. It doesn't go down as easily as the water. So too Divrei Torah, again, at first, right? We, again, sometimes are shocked by the words of Torah. We have to give it time to absorb and to enter. And when it does, then how do you feel a little after you drink wine? A little tipsy, right? Like a little bit on a high. Again, just like a yayin is mesamech lev. So too the yayin. Versus, again, mamayim ein mesamcha metalev yachol af divrei Torah. So much so that Chazal say so that maybe mayim isn't really such a good mashal for Torah, because do you drink wine to make you happy? Do you drink water to make you happy? No. Again, you drink water because you need to. Yana, so what? The Midrash continues and says, but that's Torah as well. And Chazal teach us you can't go 3 days, right, without water. You see from Am Yisrael in the Midbar, so too, you can't go 3 days without even hearing words of Torah. And whereas the wine symbolizes the next level, right? That's a simcha that's felt, again, as one engages in Torah. But the basic idea is going to be clearly the mayim. But again, there are more midrashim, the Yalkut Shimoni, Yishayahu, who describes our particular relationship to Hashem as a kerem, or inve hagefen be'inve hagefen, right? Ava, vines intertwined one with the other so that they're inseparable. That's a particular approach between us, or a particular relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, particularly on Pesach, that's when we celebrate Deya Chanukat HaMishkan. Because what's the Mishkan? Vasili Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Tochan. Because the goal of the Mishkan was to enable Am Yisrael to experience and re-experience an ongoing revelation from the time of Mamad Har Sinai. So the Mishkan is perfect for Pesach time, because it's continuing a relationship that started off from Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's why we have so much wine on Pesach. The arba kosot that symbolize the geula. The arba kosot that symbolize different malchiot that stood against us. The arba kosot that symbolize the different stages of geula. Or the arba kosot that symbolize the nechamot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will particularly grant to Am Yisrael. So much so, what's one of those nechamot? That Hashem is going to lift up a kos, and what do we say? What we call the kos of Eliyahu is going to come and give us this nechama. Shvo chamatcha al hagoyim. What do we actually use wine to symbolize? The wrath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to spill out on whom? On all the other nations. So the other nations don't like wine. Right? Certainly don't like this Jewish approach to wine. Don't like this biblical idea of wine. And wine is something that expresses our particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why that's the time of the Mishkan. That's the time of Pesach. That's Nisan. But it certainly is not Sukkot. Sukkot is Mayim season. Sukkot is the season where we focus on everything that went on in the Beis HaMikdash, the Simcha of the Beis HaMikdash, the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, and not the Beis HaMikdash, where we would go and offer our personal karbanot, but the place of the Beis HaMikdash where we offer Shivim Parot, Keneged Shivim Umot Olam. This is the time that we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, can we recognize that you're not just our God, you're the God of Mayim, you're the God of the whole world, you're the God of everyone, and that's why everyone has to come up on Sukkot and recognize that as well. Sukkot is a time of universal recognition, it's a time of recognizing the Beis HaMikdash, it's a time of recognizing nature in its greatest expression of the miraculous intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the guidance of Hashem. Again, Sukkot then is the time that we're judged together with everyone else, with all of mankind, no matter where they live. Again, we're judged here, again, for the waters. And the question then that I want to leave you with then is, which one is ideal? Right? What should we be focused on more? So what's beautiful about our calendar is that there isn't necessarily an ideal. Yesh v'yesh, right? There's a time to focus on the Ayin. There's a time to focus on the Mayim. And now we're going to celebrate a universal Chag with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we go back to Sefer Bereishit, we see that what did Hashem really want to start with? What was the goal? The goal was to have a universal recognition of Hashem. And we see this as well. Yana Hashem tells David HaMelech, when David wants to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he says to Hashem, I want to build a bayit for you, Hashem, so that you'll always be here with us. Shifti b'beit Hashem kol yimei chayai. And Hashem tells Natan to tell David, ki lo yashafti b'bayit l'miyom haloti b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim b'arayim hazeh v'yem mitalech b'o'el u'mishkan. You see something very interesting. Hashem says, but on one hand, I don't really need a mikdash because from the time I took you out of Mitzrayim, I had an ohel, I had a mishkan. You know, David, I'm really okay with, to a certain degree, with a relationship just with you, with an ohel and a mishkan type of relationship. Gena, are you sure that you want to build the Beis HaMikdash like Shlomo is going to build? That is one through which the nations of the world also come and share in this relationship. And that's why I meant by sometimes it's disturbing for us. That on one hand, we love this idea that we have a particular, special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have a brit with Hashem, that we celebrate particularly on Pesach and on Shavuot. And it's a little hard for us sometimes to open up and realize, wait a second, Hashem isn't just our God. Hashem is the God of the world, as Yeshayahu tells us in the Nechamot, Va'amarta b'yamahu odecha Hashem ki anaftavi yishov abcha u'tinachameni. What's part of the consolation? We say this every Motzei Shabbat, right? Every Havdalah over wine. But hinei kel yeshuati avtach v'lo avchad ki aziv zimratka Hashem v'hili lishua u'sha'afte mayim b'sason mimayne ha'yishua. That's a beautiful sign of geula in Yeshayahu, in Zachariah, and in Yechezkel, it's always water, water, water. And particularly water, Gana v'sason. It's Yeshayahu Samachvav that we read whenever Shabbat falls out, Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbat. We read about this perek where Kol Achichim, where all the Nachrim are going to come and serve as Kohanim. And sure enough, the Midrash tells us in Yalkut Shimoni that it's water. It's water that is purer. It's water that is, to a certain degree, ideal. So just as an example, we know at the end of Sefer Mishlei, the mother of Lemuel tells her son, the king, she says, Al lamelachim shto yayin. Kings should not drink wine. And the Midrash says, Al lemlachim shto yayin. Al yishtum lachim yayin, shema yishkachu, v'yamru ko'oto shamar, mi Hashem asher shma b'kolo. Anna, that wine also has its dangers. What are the dangers of wine? You get drunk, you forget things. Anna, you can forget what the proper law is. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last line, L'chisha ba'olam hazeh yayin takala la'olam la'atid labo. Ani osehu simcha. Hadu hu dachshiv haya ba'yom ahu yitfu harim asis v'chola hagva'ot titmogadna. Hashem says it's true that there are some problems with wine here, but that's how Anna, you're going to get perhaps to the ideal of ushatem mayim v'sason. And a beautiful Shem Yishmuel, some of you may have seen this before, with regard to what is the difference between sason and simcha. So he says that simcha is pnimit v'shketa yoter, that simcha is something much more internal, right? That's yayin yisamach levad enosh. It's felt internally. Whereas sason is giloi chitzoni yoter. Sason is much more overt, right? It's, again, an outside happiness. Rashani yoter. Hasimcha nir'et pachot marshima ulam hinim shechet zman rav yoter. Right? The effects of simcha are longer lasting than the effects of sason. And this fits beautifully with ideas of ushachtem mayim b'sason versus yayin yisamach. You feel the results of wine much longer than the relief of drinking water. Bofen shoshi yoter. Hasason, marshim, miromim, malhiv, roktim, sharim, rokim, raglayim. Ulam b'sofo hu ne'alam, umotir acharav lefamim, hargasha chalula v'rekanit. So what's the problem, though, of sason? Sason, really, this is sukkah time, right? Wherein everything is universal. We're in the Beis HaMikdash, singing and dancing. But what's the irony? What do we call Sukkot? Zman? Simchatenu. The ideal is that on Sukkot, we should be happy with the water. We should appreciate Hashem as the God of the universe. But ultimately, what should we take with us? We should realize, wow, that is so fascinating. Or that is just so cool. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the God of the entire world, who I recognize in Sukkot, in the Beit HaMikdash, as the God of Umo Ta'olam, as the God of water, guess what? He's my God. Right? That's the simcha that we take with us on Sukkot. We recognize that level of Mayim, and we take with us from that, Gana, a little bit of the Yayin as well. We take with us the simcha, knowing that this universal God is our particular God. And that's why Hashem says to David through Natan, V'samti makom la'ami Yisrael. Fine. I will let you, again through your son Shlomo, I'll make sure that you can build a Beit HaMikdash. Gana pasuk yud gimel, only your son, hu yivne bayit l'shmi v'chonanti et kisei malachto ar olam, ani yalo la'avu yali levin, asher babato v'chachti v'shevet anashim v'negei v'nei adam. That yes, the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo said is going to be for the other nations, but Hashem says it will also be particularly for Israel. And that's the beauty of Sukkot, that we start off with Mayim. We start off one day after the other, bringing a lot of Karim, but we go down in numbers every day. And we pour water over the Mizbeach, the Niso HaMayim every day. And we recognize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the water, is the God of the world, is the God of all the nations. And then we get to the very last day. After Hoshana Rabba, comes the Shmini Atzeret, and just like Shlomo HaMelech sent everyone home at that time, after these universal celebrations and festivities, Chazal tell us, wait a second, there's a day then without Nisuch HaMayim, and it's a regel b'fnei atzmo, and it has its own shir, and it has its own set of karbanot, no longer 70 nations over the 7 days of Sukkot. And Chazal tell us that Hashem says, Ena kashe alai pridatchem. Hashem says, okay, all the other nations I'm sending home, like Shlomo did. I'm sending home all the Chinese, and I'm sending home all the Portuguese, and I'm sending home again all the Europeans who came here over Sukkot. But then there's one day, Hashem says, that I want to be particular. And then I want Shmini Atzeret, leave your Arba Minim that symbolize the waters of the world behind, and leave the Sukkot, and come into your houses again, and specifically through Simchat HaTorah Shenimshala L'yayinu L'mayim, take the message of the water, but at the same time, the message of the wine, and appreciate our particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to end, though, with a beautiful song of Rav Kook. Rav Kook, as you know, saw Eretz Yisrael not only as part of the plan of Geula, of us returning to Eretz Yisrael, but the beginning of the fulfillment of the Nevuot with which we started, of Yeshayahu and of Zechariah, the Nevuot, where we find, he says, that through Eretz Yisrael, through living here in Eretz Yisrael, the other nations are going to recognize the Jewish people. And Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where we see just how much this has come true. That the Jewish people are in the news every day. Why? Because Israel is in the news every day. Right? And everyone's looking at us through what goes on over here. And Rav Kook says, yes, that's part of the broader idea of going back to the ideal of Briat HaOlam. Of recognizing that we are a nation that has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a particular one, and through us to appreciate a universal one as well. So it's very fitting that he wrote what's known as Shir Merubah, right? A fourfold song, right? And you can use the English if you'd like. He says, Yeshu Shar Shirat Nafsho. There are some people who sing their own song, right? A personal, particular song, right? A song of one's own life. And in herself, she finds everything. Uvenafsho, humotzei atakol, etzmalei hasipuk haruchani b'mlo'o, full spiritual satisfaction. Some people find, okay, yes, it's not even about a national relationship with Hashem. Especially if you grow up in Chutz La'aretz, we focus on our shmirat mitzvot, every individual. You come here to Eretz Yisrael and you appreciate the next level. Yeshu shar shirat ha'uman. You realize, oh, wait a second, I'm part of a broader, bigger nation. And you're ready to sing the song when you take that leap out of your own personal, individual relationship with Hashem. And then you start to develop a song of the people. You leave the individual self because you find that without it, you're not really living ideologically. The next page. To really appreciate a love relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be part of a relationship with Am Yisrael. Says, amen, the goal is to sing about that relationship. Together we sing the songs. Together, we undergo various travails, matzar v'tzaroteha, mishtasheya v'tzikvoteha. We enjoy the joys and the hopes together. Hogedeot el yomotutel wrote, we have wonderful Allah and Shirim of Torah together. We have a common past. We have hopefully a common future. And basically, you could have ended the Shir there, right? Isn't that beautiful? To worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with the rest of Am Yisrael. But then he says, the next one is a little harder. Once you feel that you're part of Am Yisrael and you're sensitive and you appreciate a particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you understand what Pesach is all about, you understand what the Mishkan is all about, and you're appreciating the beauty and the simcha of this wine relationship with Hashem, he says, then go, Lashir and Shirat Ha'adam. Then you're ready for this. Then you're ready to sing the song of all of mankind. The song of humanity. And this is where the spirit extends to the wider vistas of the majesty of humanity in general. And then you start learning and appreciating different ideas of the world. And he says, and then you can get to the final stage. And then you can actually sing not just the song of mankind, of humanity, but then you can sing the song of the universe, the song of all the creatures. And that clearly is what Sukkot is supposed to enable us to do. To finish off the cycle, not only of Yamim Noraim, but of the Shlosha Targalim. To be able to sing our individual song, but then our national songs. And then at Sukkot, an opportunity to leave our homes and to literally go out to the world. And not just to drink a lot of water, to spill the water and to be dependent, together with the rest of the world on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sing the song of humanity that hopefully will enable us to reach the song Ahava, the entire Olam. Shirat HaNefesh, Shirat HaUma, Shirat HaAdam, Shirat HaUlam. Kulan Yachat Mitzmatzgota Bikirbo B'chol Eitu B'chol Sha'am. Rav Kook says beautifully that really all these songs, they're not four different songs. They're really a part of the same symphony that is being played in our hearts at all times. V'hatzmimut hazot b'milo'a ola liyot shirat kodesh, shirat el, shirat Yisrael. Ba'otzem azah v'tifrata, ba'otzem amita gen v'godla. And we see the truth and the greatness of the song, because this is not just the song, our song, it's the song of Hashem. Yisrael, he says, what's another way of playing around with the letters, is Shir Kel, is the song of Hashem. It's a Shir Pashut. It's a song that we all appreciate at every moment on an individual level. Shir Kaful, it's a double song where we also are going to join with the rest of Am Yisrael. Shir Mishulash, it's a triple song. We realize that at every moment, really, Yana, our entire identity is somewhat linked to the rest of humanity, Shir Meruba, and for that matter, it's really a fourth concentric circle. We're also part of an entire universe. He says, this is really Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo, L'Melech Shehashalom Shalom. This is really our song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Shlomo may have been writing about the wine relationship, he also has in mind Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. It's not just Shlomo's song. It's the song of the king to whom peace belongs. It's the song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halavai that this Sukkot, when, okay, you can drink some wine of Kiddush as well, but halavai that this Sukkot, we focus on the water. We appreciate the simcha and the sason of the water. That may it start off, u'shafte mayim the sason. May we appreciate through the water how we're all dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how this is the song or the time to sing the song of all humanity. Of recognizing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the God of, and as we see here, a pluralistic, universalistic approach, and that Ezrat Hashem take with us how lucky we are to share then a particular relationship with Hashem. Halavai that the song of the water should continue then as a Shir Meruba to help us sing Shir Kel, to bring us from the stage of Ushafte Mayim Besason, the Ezrat Hashem, to Simchat HaTorah, to an internal simcha that we take with us all year long. Chag Sameach. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Mrs. Harrigan for coming in to the Yom Yud. I love the show myself. I'm very keen to come and listen. Ladies, in about 7 minutes from now, 3:10, for anyone who's interested, I'm going to be up at the Sukkah. And I'll go for 5 or 6 minutes about the Sukkah generally, give a little bit of a crash course in how the whole thing works, and then you'll have the afternoon to decorate and to get ready for the Hag. So thank you very much, we'll do that, and thank you for...
Thanks, Sameach, see you.